Hello and welcome to Take Off the Podcast, stories by students and classics. This is Take Two, the new series on Audioboom. Today you can listen to a conversation with Ferenczi Balázs, a former student at the University of Pécs. Now he is a very serious watch collector, as well as a contributor to one of the best watch blogs sites, Fratello Watches. But first, let me say thanks to the people that responded to my request for feedback about the podcast. So far, I got three responses, and one person specifically recommended that there should be more episodes which are unscripted. And today's chat with Balázs is like that. Enjoy. Okay, and now you are like a professional blog writer, right?
I wouldn't call it a professional blog writer, but I do a lot of...
It's not your main thing?
No. My main thing is I work for a website here in Karlsruhe. There's a website called Chrono 24.
Okay, so that's also watches.
Yeah, exactly. That's a watch-related website. Basically, I was doing something totally different in Scotland, but because I started writing for Fratello, I kind of got into this team of people I know and through them, I got this job.
That's wonderful because you have this wonderful hobby. You have like a big collection of watches, I guess.
I have a few, yeah.
A few Omegas.
I have a few Omegas.
Like 10?
I wouldn't say no. I have 50, 60. No, I'm joking. No, I have a couple. Maybe 10, 15 watches altogether.
And so you like vintage watches?
I like vintage watches. Why? Yeah, that's my thing. Why? Because you take
classic
a
look.
Watch on one hand. Yeah. On the other hand, if you take a watch and let's say it's like 2-3K, and then you take a vintage watch and it's pretty much the same design, it's also 2-3K.
You mean in terms of price, in terms of what dollars?
€1,000 or dollars. Obviously, vintage, holds better value than new watches. Oh. And I always try to be wise with my. With my purchases, so I always wanted to have a nice watch, but also wanted to have something that would pretty much keep the value. And I like vintage better than I like new ones. Every time I see a new one, I like, I like that one. But then I realize, but for that price, I can buy two vintage.
And so where do you see these new watches? Like you go to where? Like to
showrooms? We go to showrooms, yeah. We have, so Fratello Watches, the main website I write for, used to be a blog, now it's a big website.
That's right, I've seen the updates, yes.
Yeah, kind of a...
I'll post the link on my podcast page so people can go visit it.
Yeah. It started out as a blog. A Dutch guy started out doing his stuff. And now, at 10 years, 11 years after that, it's a big site. We have five people.
Regular.
Full-time members, yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have two contributors.
So what's your audience like? Like a number, the, like where from or...
60%. Of the audience is from the United States. So the readers, I love to say that we're number three in watch sites. Our chief editor says
you
we're
mean international
top five. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Worldwide. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have a blog to watch. You have Hodinkee, and you have Fratello Watches as in the third. He likes to say we're in the top five.
But you can say in the top three.
I say. Mm-hmm. In the top three, he says in the top five. So let's say we're one of the most read watch sites in the world.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we can say that. Let's say top five, because you never know, whatever. And because of that, we get invited to a lot of events and watch shows and fairs and exhibitions and whatnot. So
how do you decide what to write about? Is it like the editor tells you, you've got to cover that? Thing or you have your personal preferences?
Basically, we can pretty much write whatever we want to write about, as long as it's related to watches. And obviously, we do cover watches and watch-related stuff, accessories, things like that. But we also have, as I said, invitations for special events. And we go to an event and we do a photo essay about it, and we write an article about it. Like I've been to a couple of events organized,
like in London recently.
I've been to London was a thing called Solon QP, which is like a watch exhibition. Every year there's this thing with different brands. But I was in Switzerland in June. A watch brand invited us, and I went. for a presentation of a watch. I was in Schramberg in Germany for another watch brand. Wow. Watch presentation. I was in a couple of car races recently in Hockenheim and the Nürburgring. So it's a lot of fun.
These watch manufacturers are like sponsors.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like Formula One, Le Mans, and all, you know, this type of races.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! So you really have become a professional rider. It's so nice to know. I remember teaching you reading and writing skills, or what was it? I don't know.
Yeah,
I
think writing
something
recess,
like that. Yeah,
skills, writing and reset skills.
Yeah. Because it's stories. Do you think you could tell me a little bit about like an interesting thing about you and your watches, or like a watch that you the way you got it, or something that you wrote about, or something that you got, or like a response, anything that's like a nice story that could be like the centerpiece of this episode, if anything comes to your mind like that.
Yeah, I have there's one watch that I've always wanted to get, and the story is that this was a brand from the 30s, if I'm not mistaken, and then they kind of got bankrupt in the 1980s, and they were producing watches with their in-house movements. And in-house movement means that the company develops the movement in-house. So they develop their own movements.
Okay, so movement in terms of the internals, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Whereas a lot of other brands would buy movements from different manufacturers, this company designed and produced their own movements, which is obviously, you know, it's a higher value
special
movement,
unique.
And so they were one of these companies that would produce chronograph movements, and in the 50s, we do not really have solid information, but in the 50s the Hungarian government bought about 50 or 60 watches, maybe even 100, to equip the Hungarian Air Force with it. And these are just ordinary chronograph watches, stop watches, if you like, but that has a stop function.
Yeah.
And they would buy these watches and take them to Budapest. And then there were a couple of watchmakers who would then inscribe LE in the back of the watch.
Meaning?
As in Legi Eru.
Eru. Okay.
Yeah,
Air Force.
Exactly. So Air Force, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they would then assign these watches to the pilots in the 50s. And then obviously these watches still surface, but they're not really that popular on one hand. And they don't really come up that often on the other hand. And I've always wanted to have one of those watches. Uh-huh. And I have a friend in Budapest, and he had
found
one of those.
He
had one of those. Oh, and I said, you got to give me that watch. You're going to send me that watch. And he kept dodging my
requests.
And yeah, he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then after 6-7 months, I went home in June or July, and we've met, and he actually gave me a very, very, very nice price, a very generous price. And he said, you can only, with one condition, you can only sell this watch back to me if you want to sell it.
Okay. And you have kept that promise?
Good luck with that. No, I will keep the promise, but I still have the watch, and I keep enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And
so it's one of few such watches, right? It's like at least in Hungary, right? So there aren't a lot of...
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very
unique. It's like maybe, I don't know, maybe, I know maybe 20 of these watches.
That still work.
And in March, so this brand was resurrected by a Swiss manufacturer. They bought the brand.
Yes.
The brand went bankrupt in the 80s. American Investment Group bought the brand, and they didn't do much with it. And then this Swiss guy, they bought the brand from them. And I met them in Basel. Basel World is the biggest watch fair of the year. It's in Basel, Switzerland, every March. And I met the guy there, and he said, you know, I always wanted to have one of those watches with the Air Force, because he was a collector. And I said, you know what, I have one of those. And he was very jealous, and he wanted to sell the watch. No chance.
If you want to find out more about Balaji's writings and these watches, please visit frotellowatches.com. And until next time, take care.